brought to you by WakeMed Women's, caring for women at every life stage. Find a doctor, schedule appointments, and more. Download the WakeMed All Access app today.
Heads up, listeners, this episode gets into topics on sexual health, so you might not want to listen to or watch this with your kiddos around. When was the last time you went down the feminine products aisle at the drugstore and took a real good look around? If you haven't in a while, you are in for a shock. The old standards, they're still there. You know, douches, yeast infection medications, but man, oh man, are there new items to buy. You've got your organic pads, your organic tampons. Now there are cups for your period. There are underwears for your period. I haven't even gotten to some of the washes and pills that are available. There are suppositories. There are tea bags. I'm in perimenopause now, so I won't be able to partake in the plethora of products that are now available for our nether regions. I am glad that companies are finally realizing that we have genitalia and they need to be taken care of. I have to admit, I'm a little jealous of all the options women have for their special lady time, as it were. When I first started my period, you would buy your pads and then hide them underneath the Coke bottles and the cereal boxes at the bottom of your shopping cart for fear you'd run into anybody who, God forbid, knew you were a fertile woman. Now you can fill your shopping cart halfway up with all these teas, suppositories, and underwear, and everyone celebrates you. I think it's great. We're talking vaginal health today on the podcast. I have a lot of questions, and I have some fun slides about products in the drugstores. Let's get into it. Oh, man. I'm excited about this conversation. We're talking vaginal health with Dr. Victoria Fashikin. She's an OBGYN at WakeMed North. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so I just want to jump right in and let's just talk about the vagina, the genitals for women down there, because I don't think everyone knows what's going on. I know men certainly don't.
Well, I like to say if you can't find it, he or she can't either.
Oh, so, good point.
It's pretty important to know your own body.
Yeah. Did you have to get a mirror out for this?
It can be helpful unless you're incredibly flexible.
And then you have a very lucky partner. But anyway, go ahead.
So the most common thing that I notice that women get wrong first and foremost is they come to me complaining about their vagina. Okay. What they actually mean is their vulva.
That is a question. And actually, before we jump into your thing, I will say I have these diagrams.
Mm-hmm.
And this diagram here is the one that you're shown in sex ed when you're in elementary school and middle school and whatnot. And the vulva is not mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the new one. Which, by the way, I've never seen the new one. This is way more, and this is what you would see, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not all about making babies. This is like the physiology. Also, the vulva is not labeled. So is your entire area the vulva?
Yes. Everything you see on the outside in a normal anatomy, provided there isn't something else going on with the person. So most of what you see, the kind of hair-bearing areas, the lips, yeah. the clitoris, which is at the top, that's all vulva.
Oh, I am 47 years old and I am learning this today. That tells you how good we are at medicine in this country. Okay, so continue.
So the vagina is actually fully inside.
Oh.
So occasionally you have some ladies who may have had a lot of babies or some issues where they have something called prolapse, where they're seeing some of the vagina come out. But naturally, the vagina is completely tucked inside.
Your vagina can come out of your body?
I think that might be a conversation for another day.
Oh, wow. Can it happen without having children?
Pretty unlikely.
Okay. See, having babies is it's a big deal. All right, so you're going for the other model now.
Yeah, so we come together like this.
So you're putting it on the end. For the people who are listening and not seeing, the model is the uterus with the fallopian tubes mm-hmm. and the ovaries. It's basically the one you've seen in all your sex ed
yes.
classes. And she's putting the vulva on the very end of it.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So the vagina is the tunnel that leads to our cervix.
Okay.
Our cervix is the opening. You can think of it kind of like the gate to our uterus.
Okay, the gate, I like mm-hmm. that.
And our uterus is where our periods come from, our babies grow if we choose to have them. And so that's how everything connects together.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then, I'm looking at this model. Why don't you just finish the tour here? What else is going on in this model?
Yeah. Where the vulva model leaves off, we see this is the tunnel of the vagina.
Uh-huh.
And here is our cervix.
Okay.
And then this body here is the uterus.
The triangle-ish looking, like
with
like
our lining.
Yes, yeah.
Our lining, which is also known as the endometrium. That's where our periods come from.
Okay.
That's where our babies grow into.
Okay.
And then we have our fallopian tubes, which are like arms that come off of the side of the uterus that kiss our ovaries.
Ooh, and how romantic.
When we ovulate, they're brushing an egg from the ovary into the fallopian tubes where they will travel into the uterus.
Which I've learned recently that they don't necessarily, they're not assigned.
Mm-hmm.
They're not assigned a ovary. They can
they're
cross
not.
Over. Which
they definitely can.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Back to the clitoris real quick. So you said that's above, I guess, the lips at this point. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that what people call the man in the boat?
I have never heard that before.
You've never heard about the man in the
Please
boat?
Please tell me about the man in the boat.
Well, it's the little flap of skin inside the lady business down there.
Interesting. Yeah,
I've heard it. I have always heard it referred to as the man in the boat. Is that the clitoris?
Possibly.
Wow, I'm teaching you now.
You are, definitely. So the mons pubis, so at the kind of at the very top, if you feel like you hit your pubic bone,
yeah,
that area, if you follow it down, the first structure you come to where our the top of our lips kind of come together is normally the clitoris
okay.
for most women.
That is the man in the boat then.
Okay.
So now you know.
All right, man
in
the boat.
Anyone else brings it up, now you know. I can't believe I'm breaking this to you in this moment. Okay, great. Well, thank you. I literally just learned a lot. So now let's talk about vaginal health itself, because I want to kind of go down the product line,
mm-hmm.
right? So cleansing. Mm-hmm. I've heard many camps on this. In the 70s, douching was real big.
Oh, yes.
Do we need to do anything special to our nether regions?
So I'm going to start off with saying that the industry surrounding our vaginal health very much mimics the one that talks about our bodies in general.
Mm.
There's a lot of commentary on what we should or should not be doing mm-hmm. and how we should or should not smell.
Mm.
A vagina and a vulva should smell like a vulva.
Mm.
We don't tend to tell men that their scrotum or their balls should smell like roses, and ours shouldn't either.
So let's let you sit with that for a second. You're absolutely right. Yeah, like we don't have FTD down there. It's like, you know, anatomy.
Yes.
So based on what you just said, I'm taking it that you don't think it needs to be cleansed.
So our vagina naturally, when it's working, no infections, we've been nice to it, it's self-cleaning.
When you say be nice to it, that means like in the shower, just, you know, normal
yeah,
soap and water.
Not adding aggressive products that strip our body's natural
okay.
microbiome, which is the balance of the good bacteria that helps protect against bad bacteria.
Right, right, right.
It really just needs water and a gentle hand.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So I've heard about vaginal steaming, which I don't even, that sounds so painful to
it
me, but apparently.
Sounds horrific to
yeah,
me.
Right. So people do this. Is this helpful at all? Or is
Please
it,
don't.
Okay. Is it
Please
dangerous?
Don't. It is. If you're especially not careful, you can give yourself real burns down there.
Oh, woof. No, thank you. Okay. I hear a lot about pH balance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of products in the market that talk about pH balance. How do you know if your pH balance is off whack to begin with?
That's a great question. So our vaginas are naturally acidic.
Okay.
Meaning that if you were to compare their pH to regular things you have, probably sits somewhere between tomato juice, orange juice, and black coffee.
Wow.
That helps keep away a lot of problems. So at that pH, it's pretty hard for yeast to grow. Things like bacterial vaginosis that irritate ladies are less likely to grow. And if we don't damage our natural bacteria, they're called lactobacilli, like the kind you might see in yogurt.
Oh, interesting. Or
probiotics.
Okay.
They keep doing what they're supposed to do. They make our vagina acidic, and they really help keep away bad problems.
So how does a sperm make it up there?
So that's one of the reasons why sperm comes with a lot of liquid.
Ah.
So pre-cum starts the process of making the vagina less acidic so sperm can live.
Okay.
And then semen is basically bundling the sperm in something that's basic, so closer to the pH of like milk or even higher to really
neutralize it.
Exactly. To balance out the vagina
Girl,
so it'll live.
I am learning right now. I love it. Does it ever get out of whack though?
It definitely can. And some of those things just really aren't our fault.
Okay.
if we take certain medicines, antibiotics are pretty notorious for this.
Okay.
Because antibiotics, what that mean is antibiotic, they're antibacteria.
And it's probably anywhere. They can't.
Anywhere.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you take it by mouth and it's killing bacteria possibly anywhere.
Okay.
And so you might start killing off your good bacteria by accident.
Yeah, and you always hear about that in your belly, but not mm-hmm. in your vagina.
Yeah. It can happen either place. So some people get diarrhea
yeah.
from antibiotics.
Yeah, yeah.
And some people get things like yeast infections from being on antibiotics.
Oh, interesting. All right, great. Well, let's talk about discharge.
Mm-hmm.
Because can your discharge tell you if you have a pH imbalance?
It can tell you a lot of things.
Okay.
So discharge that smells really bad,
uh-huh.
like a big change for what's normal for you, or it comes in strange colors, is mixed with blood when you're not expecting your period, or it can be greenish or dark yellow or brown, can be a sign that there's something that's out of balance
mm.
or something's moved in that shouldn't be there.
Moved in. That's a choice of words. What's moving in?
So in my line of work, a big one I see are different types of sexually transmitted infections.
Oh, yeah.
So gonorrhea, chlamydia, trichomonas are some of the big ones I see.
I've not heard of what is it?
Trichomonas.
What is that?
Trichomonas is actually probably one of the most common.
And I've never heard of it.
Vaginal STIs in the world.
Oh, what happens with it?
It is a literal parasite that's
oh
passed
my God.
Through sex.
Oh my God.
It can make the discharge greenish and frothy. And it literally is growing, swimming, making babies inside of you.
Woof.
And it can really cause a lot of pain along the vagina and the cervix. It can cause bleeding.
Oh my God.
And in pregnancy, it can cause some real complications.
Oh my God. And I'm assuming this is treatable then.
It is.
Thank
it's
God.
Curable.
Oh,
we have good antibiotics that can kill it.
Okay.
And it's just important to know. So if you're seeing things that just really don't seem right, go to your OBGYN, go to your doctor.
Yeah, you're never wasting their time.
No.
Yeah. I've also heard that thrush versus bacterial vaginosis. I just recently learned this or heard about that you can get thrush in your vagina. I have a child. He's 8. And when he was tiny, I was looking out for thrush in his mouth, my child's mouth, which is a common thing. I had no idea that you could get it as a woman. Is that true?
So what we typically call thrush is a yeast or candida infection of the mouth. Now, you can have a candida infection anywhere in your body. You can even get in your armpits or under your breasts. Some women get that, especially if they sweat a lot. But we call it a candidal or a yeast infection when it happens in the vulva or the vagina.
Oh, that makes more sense. And how does a yeast infection vary from bacteria vaginosis?
They're two different organisms. So they're two different things that are growing. Bacterial vaginosis is actually one of a few different options of bacteria, something most commonly called Gardnerella, or even a fun name called Mobiluncus, which...
That is pretty fun. Sounds like a Disney character.
That can grow when our good bacteria has been pushed down.
I see.
So whether aggressive cleaning practices or antibiotics or even sex, it's not considered a sexually transmitted infection, but because it can grow naturally in our bodies and in male partners too, or even in female partners, sharing sex toys or having sex with someone who's colonized can start to increase that count in you.
Colonized. Mm-hmm. That was a fun word choice also.
but yeast is caused actually by a type of fungi.
Or
mold that is growing in the vagina or the vulva. It kind of can be there naturally in really, really low amounts. But when you have a yeast infection, it means that it's grown too much that you're now seeing symptoms from it.
And are the symptoms of it different from each other?
They usually are. So one of the big things is discharge.
Okay.
Now, universal can be irritation.
Yeah.
Some women might have itching, they might have burning, they might notice the smell is different. Bacterial vaginosis, or which we nickname BV, can be a little fishy.
Okay.
The discharge can be kind of thinner and waterier and just a lot.
Okay.
Whereas yeast can be more whitish. It can make your underwear smell kind of like fresh baked bread.
Yeah. I hate to say this. I mean, I've noticed that once and twice in my life.
A lot of people have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you get a yeast infection or BV, like say you've gotten one, you've gotten rid of it. Mm-hmm. Can you get it again by sleeping with the same partner?
So it's usually not going to cause you a problem unless there is something imbalanced in your own body.
I see. Okay.
So just having sex with a partner normally shouldn't be enough to tip you into having it.
Even if you had sex with that partner when you had the yeast infection?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But there are some exceptions. And we do know that when it comes to women who have issues with chronic BV in particular, that actually, if they're having sex with partners with a penis, that partner being circumcised will decrease their likelihood of having BV.
That makes sense.
Makes it easier to get rid of it.
Yep, that makes sense. So we've already talked about odor a little bit, and you said that a vulva should smell like a vulva. So when you notice odor, then that changes from your regular odor, you need to go see a doctor.
Possibly, yeah. Especially if it's like something that smells really bad in comparison. Just new odors can sometimes come on with changes to us. So if you're working out more, you're eating more garlic, you've noticed you've gone plant-based, or maybe in reverse, you're eating more meat.
Yeah.
Those things will reflect in our sweat. They'll reflect in the way our vulva smells. But if it's really smelling out of whack concerning, you should come see us.
Wow. Do you really have to get a pap smear every single year?
You do not, thankfully.
When I was younger, I went every year.
Yes. So when I was younger, that was the case too. And I'm going to step back for a moment and talk a little bit more about pap smears.
Sure, go for it.
So pap smears are a test that we do on the cervix where we get a little scraping of the cells with a soft bristle. And we send that to the lab to take a look at if there are precancerous changes or abnormal things that are happening to the cells of the cervix. And then depending on your age or the situation, whether or not you have human papilloma virus, which is the virus that causes cervical and other cancers.
I find this so interesting. So is that the only way you can get those cancers is through this virus?
It's not the only way, but more than about 90-95% of cervical cancer is caused by human papillomavirus.
I find that so interesting. So does that mean that like lung cancer could also possibly be caused by a virus?
That's a great question. And there are some viruses that have been implicated in other cancers.
Oh, interesting.
But human papillomavirus actually is associated with 6 cancers.
Which 6?
Head and neck, so throat cancers, vulvar, vaginal, penile, anal, and cervical cancers.
Wow. And it's that's fascinating. Are there any advances in pap smear technology?
In terms of how it's done, I think the biggest advance that's hit us has been the ability to test for HPV.
Yeah.
Because that really changed the landscape.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure when they figured that out, it was a whole new day.
Mm-hmm. And the types of HPV, because there are hundreds, they cause everything from warts to nothing. So figuring out which are the high risk ones that we should worry more about and which are the ones that can largely be ignored.
Yeah. And so because you've discovered this, that's why you don't have to get a pap smear.
Exactly.
Man, this is fascinating stuff. This is where our research money goes to stuff like this.
I hope so. More of it should go there, honestly.
I agree. All right. Well, let's talk about some listener questions real quick.
All right. Let's
see.
It.
I don't know these. We get these both from a anonymous box in our office and listeners bring them in. So I'm reading these for the first time, too. Should we wear underwear at night, or is that a good time to, quote, air it out? And do we really need to air it out?
That is a great question.
I'm going to admit, this is my question.
Do not wear any bottoms when you go to bed.
Really? My mom was right.
Yes.
Claudia was right. She always told me, she's like, it's good to air it out.
let her breathe, as I would say.
Yeah, let her breathe. Okay. Claudia, you were right. She's going to be so happy when I tell her. Okay. The rest of them, I swear, aren't from me. But that one was, I kind of hit it and I was like, I'm just going to tell her. Are some types of underwear bad for us, especially period underwear? Are there chemicals in there that are unhealthy? Because this makes me remember, I have read some things here about this.
That's a great question. And I will admit, I don't know every detail about all the different types of period underwear that are out there. When it comes to underwear, especially if you are someone who deals with irritation or have had issues with BV or yeast, really being very gentle with your vulva and vagina is very important. So cotton is the best option. And not just the bottom part that touches your vagina or vulva, but the actual whole underwear being made of breathable, kind of hypoallergenic cotton.
Okay.
But if you don't have issues and you want to feel sexy and you want that lace or satin, please don't hold back.
Yeah, how about thongs?
You can.
Okay. Do they cause yeast infections?
I wouldn't say that it causes it, but you have to be on the lookout for things that might be a trigger for you.
Okay.
And as far as period underwear goes, as similar to pads, you really want something that is, like, especially when you're choosing pads or things that are going to be sitting against your skin, you want it to be fragrance-free.
Okay.
You want it to be hypoallergenic as possible.
Okay.
And usually they'll use some sort of cotton weave in the layer that's against your skin. So similarly with period underwear, you want something that's going to allow you to be clean, be relatively breathable. You want to make sure you're changing it out frequently because that can lead to more concerns.
Kind of makes sense, you know, because it's... That makes sense to me. Okay, next question. My vulva and vagina are really itchy during my period. Is that just irritation from pads or tampons, or can this be hormonal?
That's also a great question. So one of the things that blood does is it actually changes the pH in our vagina. And so when you are bleeding, sometimes for women, that can be a trigger for yeast infections or BV to come on.
Oh, no. Those poor women. Because that's every month.
Yes. Now, sometimes it's a short window, and then by the time they're done with their cycle and their discharge comes back normally, they don't have any more problems.
I see.
So in that case, I'd really say, like, rinse yourself with warm water regularly, pat dry, change out your products regularly, and you'll probably be fine. Probiotics, you know, yogurt that's like low sugar and has good bacterial cultures or a probiotic capsule can be helpful. Mm-hmm. But in that case, you just kind of ride it out.
I got to ask you this. This is a home remedy I heard a while back that just made me remember it. You take a glove, a rubber glove or like a plastic like glove that you would use when you're cooking, whatever. And you put yogurt in the fingers. And then you freeze it, and then you use it as a suppository to get rid of a yeast infection.
Don't do it. Please don't do it.
All right, next question. We're going to move away from that as fast as possible. Can you shave or wax down there too often? Does the hair there serve a purpose? And should I wait a certain amount of time between shaving?
Also a great question. So... kind of like the reason we have eyelashes and eyebrows, you might have never thought of it. It keeps dirt, dust, things away from our sensitive eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Our pubic hair is there to be kind of that first barrier of protection.
So we shouldn't be getting Brazilians.
I mean, you can. If it doesn't bother you and it doesn't cause you a lot of irritation, that's fine.
Mm.
But you really don't want to be doing this too often. I often encourage clipping rather than waxing, because waxing can cause ingrowns and more irritation and damage to the skin under it. Waxing, like sugar waxing, can sometimes be gentler for some people and less irritating.
I don't know what that is.
It's where they actually use like a sugar based paste.
Oh, and it rips off like a wax.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
But I really wouldn't recommend doing it more often than 2 weeks. Like, allow the hair to grow back a little bit so that you're not constantly scraping against the skin itself or risking burning your skin underneath.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most sensitive area we have.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Last listener.
But hair is natural. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell every guy who's like, don't grow your underarm hair out. I'm like, it's part of my body. Why should I be ashamed of this? Nothing drives me more crazy than that.
I don't date those men.
I wish I could say, this is the next question. I wish I could say, quote, I'm asking for a friend, but I'm not. This is in the question. This is not me saying this. Can a vagina have gas? This seems to be an issue after I have sex, do yoga, or exercise in general.
I love this question.
Me too, and I'm dying to know the answer.
So I have learned in the general populace, this is what a lot of people will commonly refer to as queefing.
Yes, queefing. I think that's the first time on WRAL anyone said queefing.
We're getting it all out
that's
there.
That's it. Let's talk about queefing, girl.
So it is not your fault, especially if you're having penetrative sex. Every time that device or partner goes out and goes back in, they are pushing air in.
Yeah.
It's like you're drinking a soda with bubbles. Of course you're going to need to burp eventually.
Yeah.
The gas is building up because you added it there.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you're doing a lot of physical activity, you may notice that your you may not even realize that it's happening, but yeah. it's basically you're pulling in air from the outside.
Yeah.
And as you move, you're letting some of it go.
Yeah. I know.
It's natural.
It is
don't
natural.
Don't be embarrassed.
I was a yoga teacher for a while, and things would happen in class,
yes.
and I would just, and everyone would giggle, and I'm like, it is funny. It is natural. Don't worry about it. So, yeah. Okay.
Just like farting. Things are working, okay?
Yeah, you don't have, be ashamed. You have an extra hole. Queef out of it.
We definitely do.
All right. Let's take a break real quick, and then we're going to come back to something I'm very excited because our producer, Anita, went to the drugstore and got some photos, and we need your opinion.
Oh, I am ready.
Ladies, when it's your health, it's your decision. And the decision is clearly Wake Med Women's. From pregnancy and childbirth to gynecology, surgery, weight loss, your emotional well-being, and your heart. The care is as compassionate as it is comprehensive. So, wherever your health takes you, a lifetime of highly specialized care and a very good decision await you at wakemed.org.
Okay, we're back with Victoria Fashikin. She's a doctor of OBGYN at Wake Med, and we're going to go through some feminine products. I got to say, when I was younger, there were just two. There was like douche and pads, and that was it. And I knew better than to douche. My mom always told me not to do it. So that's the first one. Is the douche.
Hate it.
Yeah, Summer's Eve.
Summer's Eve, hate it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Well, this might make you feel better. This is now on the bottom shelf.
Good.
Where all products go to die.
May it end up in the trash.
All right, so let's go to cleansers. We've got two cleansers. These are so awesome. One of them is Vagisil Odor Block Daily Intimate Wash. The Vagisil washes include Odor Block, pH Balance, Healthy Detox, and Unscented.
Hate it.
Why do you hate it?
I hate it because a vulva is supposed to smell like a vulva. Clean yourself with warm water and a gentle hand. You don't need any of these products telling you you're supposed to smell like roses.
What about the scents that Summer's Eve offers? Get ready. Some of these sound like cruise ships. Blissful Escape, Golden Glamour, Island Splash, Delicate Blossom, Morning Paradise, Lavender Nighttime, Aloe Love, which I believe is a rapper also, Amber Nights. yeah, so I'm assuming you probably feel the same way about this.
Take the money that you would have spent on Summer's Eve trash and go on an actual vacation.
Go on
your own Blissful Escape.
Yes. Monistat also makes one. And this brings me up to this scared me when I saw it, and I really don't understand this. And I want to start with my first one, but just because the name is everything. This is by Love Wellness. It's called The Killer.
Oh, God.
It's a boric acid vaginal suppository. What on earth has to be going on up in my vajayjay for me to put boric acid up there?
Okay, we're going to pause on this one. Because there is a time and place for boric acid.
No.
It is not the average person going off of the aisle. So if you are not having issues, you have not discussed this with your doctor or had this prescribed for you before, do not touch this, no matter how much love or wellness it claims it has. But boric acid, like it says in the name, is an acid.
Okay.
So if you are someone who deals with chronic imbalances, and I don't mean you got one yeast infection once or BV one time and you're feeling fine. I mean that if you are one of the unfortunate subset of women that keep having these issues come back, you get treated, it comes back,
right.
You get treated, it comes back.
Maybe that period issue comes
exactly. up. Exactly. Then boric acid can help keep your vagina in a pH that helps suppress things like BV and yeast growing.
So is this new for it to be available over the counter?
I think that I've definitely noticed a big shift over the past year or two where I'm seeing it more often. It used to be I had to prescribe it.
I see.
Or it came from a compounding pharmacy.
Yeah, I see azo boric acid, talks about vaginal pH, supports odor control, which we are not for, and are clinically studied. It's just done with clinically studied boric acid. Then we also have the Honey Pot makes boric acid and herbs.
Oh, no.
Spices. No spices.
No herbs, thank you. You want your boric acid plain and clinical, straight from the chemistry lab. Don't add any herbs. Don't add any steaming, please.
I love it when you get upset. You go down like three octaves. It's awesome. Okay. Love Wellness is back. This one is a pH cleanser, Daily Vulva Wash. This is a non-irritating, fragrance-free, intimate cleanser. Thoughts?
My thoughts are they are selling you a product. They are making you feel like you need the product. You don't need soap. You just need your hand in warm water. If you are feeling like you are absolutely disgusting for some reason, you just did P90X or something and every part of you feels like it reeks.
You're sticky then, in the folded places.
Then use some like plain hypoallergenic bar soap.
Okay. All right. You don't need the extra, you know that had to cost like $10.
Oh, definitely.
So this is a pH, I've seen these also, pH Balance Wipes by L. I don't know what L stands for, but any thoughts on these?
I don't love it. There is a place for wipes sometimes. So like, especially if you're having a lot of irritation, what I actually recommend are like the wet wipes for babies that are like 99% water.
Yeah.
Or you can just use a damp cloth for yourself.
Yeah.
But these add a lot of extra fragrances and chemicals that may make your irritation worse.
Okay. All right. Now, this is actually when I knew I had this card coming up, and you've mentioned it before, so I am very curious. This is a, this is called Prefresh, or Refresh, rather. It is a vaginal probiotic supplement. Talk to me.
So, there isn't any proof that trying to put the bacteria directly in the vagina helps.
Okay.
Of course, there's a lot of feelings that like, well, if the problem's there, let me go straight to the source. So probably unnecessary, probably better to try and balance out the good bacteria in your gut and your whole body with like an oral or yogurt. But I wouldn't put this in the harmful category.
Okay. Well, but I would, it sounds to me like you might want to consult your doctor before just this clinically, not clinically, but diagnosing yourself and going out and buying this.
And because there are so many different types of infections and each treatment is so different, before you start going down the rabbit hole of treating and retreating yourself, just please get checked out.
Yeah, it might be a lot simpler of an, you know, and they, you also went to medical school, so you're going to know more than I do inherently. All right, this is a new product that we've seen. It's a menstrual cup. I have a couple of, I have three of them here. No, I have a couple of them. What are your thoughts on the menstrual cup? The Honey Pot makes it, as does Salt, which is S-A-A-L-T, Himalayan Pink, for those discerning fashionistas out there. What are your thoughts on these?
I will say the menstrual cup is one of the few feminine products that I think has actually been a boon to the industry.
Finally.
So before we had tampons and we had pads and then period underwear was kind of like, whoa, this is cool.
Yeah, I still don't trust it, but my friends use it and swear by it.
The menstrual cups are what it is usually some sort of silicone kind of cone funnel shape with a stem device that
like
you
call it
actually
a chalice.
I like chalice. Yes. Like a goblet.
Yes, the goblet.
That you will put into the vagina. So you'll put inside of yourself like a tampon. And as long as you're very good about cleaning it regularly and you're emptying it appropriately, it's a really great environmentally friendly option for managing your period.
Yeah, I actually use one. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little uncomfortable sometimes because it's big.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one on here that
you do have some different sizes.
This one's called the Soft Disc, and it is plastic. It's just more shallow.
Yes, it looks like an old school diaphragm.
It does. Yes, it does. It's just a little bit more, a little more room, if you would. But yeah, so basically, it looks like a diaphragm. Yeah, and one of my coworkers is in love with it. Hers. So, you did mention tampons and everything. Is it important for us to use organic tampons? Because I now have seen so much organic products, basically like pads and tampons and things like that. They weren't around when I first started my period. So, what do you think about all this?
Unfortunately, sometimes organic can be a little bit misleading because it doesn't always mean that something is natural. But I do think that aiming for something that is fragrance-free, kind of minimal chemicals as possible, that it'll be less irritating for you is great. And if this these different companies that have tried to kind of make their market more along that are doing that for you, that's great.
Yeah. Okay. We have this one is surprisingly covered by the FSA that we have here at my work, and it is a Kegel trainer, and it vibrates. So is this essentially a vibrator? This thing looks like an egg with a tail.
So there is a whole class of devices that are geared towards, we will say, internal muscular strength.
Right. Well, I mean, after you have a kid, I mean, it's not fun. Mm-hmm. You know, like you sneeze, you jump, you twist the wrong way. It's just, it's not the same story as it was prior to babies. And the older you get, even if you don't have babies, mm-hmm. that's what happens. So does this kind of thing work?
My opinion, and I say this with the knowledge of, I did some shadowing with pelvic physical therapists and they blew my mind. Because the medical school aspect of learning about your pelvic organs is very different than from the physical therapy, like restorative side.
In what way?
Because they are so much more educated about like function, strength building. Mm. I know how things connect to deconstruct them and reconstruct them if needed, especially like surgically.
Got it.
But in really helping people get the most function out of their body, a pelvic physical therapist cannot be underrated. So I will say, if you are having issues that you are looking for one of these trainers to help fix, do it with guidance with someone who really knows how to help you maximize.
That's good advice. And that's like a new field. Like I don't recall that. My son is 8 and no one mentioned that to me. So I think it's been in the past, what it has to be within the past 8 years, this has really taken off.
They've existed for a long time, but I think definitely access and also the knowledge of the people who would send you there has grown a lot in the past 5 to 10 years.
Okay. All right. I want to go to, just because I think this one's fun just to say, mm-hmm. I think I know what you're going to say to it. Honey Pot Company has a calming lavender rose panty spray.
No!
Enough said. This one is interesting. This is Replen's personal lubricant. They have a long-lasting vaginal moisturizer. I'm assuming this is for people going through menopause mm-hmm. as their vag, as I sometimes call her. As your vagina gets a little drier, does this kind of thing work?
It can. So especially when we go through menopause, a lot of things change. So our estrogen falls, and that's part of why the vagina, which is... responds to estrogen, gets a lot thinner, can get drier, it can even get narrower and more easily injured. Mm. It can happen to our bladder too, since our bladder also responds to estrogen, so more UTIs and things like that.
Oh, something to look forward to.
So Replens is part of a class of vaginal moisturizers, which are meant to really try and mimic what our natural lubrication should be doing that we lose over time.
Okay.
It's meant to be like pretty hypoallergenic, non-irritating. There are other things that can serve a similar role, but that one I will give a thumbs up. If
okay, not. There's been very few. I'm excited. We only have like 3 more left, okay? I think that's right. This one, the name is just the best. Lemmy Purr Vaginal Probiotic Gummies. Have you seen these?
So wait, where is that going? In your mouth or your vagina?
I can't imagine you could chew one if you put it in your vagina. I'm pretty sure it's for your mouth.
You never know nowadays.
That's very true. So any thoughts?
Probiotics are reasonable.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then this one is yoni oil. And I think you just kind of like douse your yoni, which is, I believe, your vulva, with the yoni oil. And then these are called yoni detox pearls. And they look like little tea bags with lines on them. And I don't know if you soak them first and shove them up there. I don't know.
Don't these people also make an egg, this company?
I think so. What are your thoughts on the eggs?
No.
No.
Like, hate.
Okay.
No, grr.
Okay, I have 2 more, actually. Grr, she says. this is something, after I had my son, I would have loved. This is called the Hot and Cold Postpartum Therapy Pack.
2 thumbs up.
Heck yeah. It's basically a pad that you can, I believe, put in the freezer or the microwave. If you ever have a kid, you will be wanting one of those. Mm-hmm. Lastly, you're talking about sex toys. This mm-hmm. is a sex toys vibe wash, antibacterial vibe wash. Do we need this or can we just use hand soap?
So that is a really good question. This is one of the situations where it might matter what type of product you use. Because there are different linings for different sex toys, so silicone-based, sometimes they might have things that they put into it to help make it antibacterial. I do generally suggest that you follow what the manufacturer is recommending as far as helping keep it clean.
Okay, and should you wash your sex toy if it's penetrative every time?
That's a good idea.
What about if it's non-penetrative?
If it's non-penetrative, but you're still getting a lot of discharge, you're still getting your discharge on it, still coming in contact with your organs, at the very least, giving it a nice warm water rinse is going to be a good idea.
Okay. That's my last question. I think you did great.
Thank you. I love this.
This was so fun.
It was very fun.
Well, if I have any other questions about, and you're an OBGYN, so I may be calling you for all kinds of things, but thank you for talking Vag Health with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Ooh, I like Dr. Foshikin. I like the idea that you don't really need any special product to keep yourself clean down there. You just need warm water and, as she said, a gentle hand. You know, they're always going to try to sell you something. Talking to your doctor about what you really need is always the best advice. If you have any thoughts on this episode, or you have a question that you want me to ask for a future episode, go to WRALFM.com/Sarah Has Questions. The link's in the show notes. Sarah Has Questions is a production of Capital Broadcasting Company. My guest today was Dr. Victoria Foshikin, a OBGYN with WakeMed. To find out more about her or any of the other providers from the WakeMed team, go to wakemed.org. Thanks for listening.